in Ephesians. And we're actually trying to learn how to live the Christian life. And what's funny is we need to live it together. We need to live it in unity. God is not pleased with all the division among Christians. You know, I think it's the worst testimony that we could ever have is division. We all are sinners, all right? And there's plenty of problems with our testimony, all right? Somebody can look at Martin, somebody can look at Tony and say, well, they got problems, look at them. Yeah, sure. But you know what? In a family, everybody's at different stages, different dealing with different things. But when the family's against itself, what does the Bible say? A family against itself falls. So, now there are some people you do not want to be with. All right? There are some people that we have no unity with. Do you understand? It's not a thing for us all to get together. Unity at all costs is of the devil. No, but we're talking about Christians. And verse 3, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, not just the unity of the church, but the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Question, has there ever been a day where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had an argument? Split up. Man, this universe would disintegrate without Him being in unity, amen? So the unity of the Spirit evidently is a pattern to look to and go, look at that. God has perfect unity. We need to try as well. So, we're actually learning about walking and living in the Christian life, and we live together. Jim, you were talking about being a hermit for several years and things like that. There aren't supposed to be Christian hermits. Okay? You may need to be away for a while. You may need to get in the wilderness for a while. Let God deal with you. You get right with God. You get alone with God. Get on fire for God. But then you come out and be with people again. Do you understand? We're supposed to be living together. So I said, there are four things in chapter 4. The first one is we should walk worthy of the name which we have, which is Christian. We walk together, which is where we're at now. Next couple of weeks, we'll review that we are to walk gifted and then walk differently. When we looked at walking together, we've looked at, when we walk together, we have one captain leading us. We stay under his authority, under the Bible. We stay unified. And the unification, the things that bring us together, there's seven of them. Seven unities that unite us as Christians. They'll unite a home. Can you imagine being married to a Muslim and you being a Christian? Can you be united? Only in flesh. Not even in emotions. There are people who, you know, try to promote diversity, and what they're doing is they're just trying to knock everything down so nobody has any beliefs at all. We have some things that bond us and bind us. Seven unities that unite us. There in Ephesians chapter 4, the unity of the Spirit, he says there is one body, one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. There's one hope, one Lord, which is where we're going today, one faith, one baptism, one God. Now you get those things settled and you'll stay sane. If you don't have those things figured out, the Mormons are going to come and they're going to mess you up. You understand? There's one God. Jehovah's Witnesses come along and they say, there's one God, but Jesus is also a God. Man, that will mess you up. Well, there is one God, but that's only the God of this earth. His name is Elohim, and then there's other gods over other earths. That's Mormonism. You figure this thing out and you'll stay sane and you'll stay safe from cultic activities. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's learn about our one Lord. Father, bless the study of your word. Thrill us with the truth, but bind us with the truth. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this whole day. Just one more time, we want to get into the book and hear from you. Bless this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Just read it for ourselves. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. Go to Acts 2 and verse 36, and I will call on my normal crew to read. That means all of you. Acts 2 and verse 36. Let's see, Gina. Amen. So God made that same Jesus, what did he make him? He made him Lord. He made him Lord. Next one. Romans 14. I'll ask Nita. Would you read that one? Wouldn't you know it? I'll ask Marlene, would you read it? Romans 14 and verse 9. There's your truth that Jesus died and was rose again to prove that he is the Lord of everybody that's dead and of the living. Jesus is Lord. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. You ready now? Okay, Nita. Anita, when it says one Lord, who's it talking about? Jesus. Jesus. We're learning about there's one Lord. What does that mean? We're looking at the Lord Jesus. Go to Philippians 2 and 10. Philippians 2 and verse 10. Mark Hill. He's playing with the baby when he should be reading his Bible. Amen? Philippians 2, 10. And 11. He is the Lord Jesus. When I was a new Christian, I knew a lot of people who talk about Jesus. And some people even said Jesus Christ. But there's something that's very powerful about knowing him as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. Jesus' authority. Now, people say, well, how can he be the Lord and God the Father be the Lord? Good question. Staying in Philippians, look in verse 6, and then we'll go to look at John. I'll see who else. Brother Bill, would you read Philippians 2 and verse 6? Start in verse 5. Who did I say? I meant Bill. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. Thought. All right. It's kind of a funny way of saying that Jesus didn't think it was stealing from God. When he came down to the earth and he said, I'm God. He didn't think it was taking anything from God. Now how can that be? Because he was the same God. Do you understand that? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Yep. As a son, he gave all the glory to the Father. But he said to Philip, he said, if you see me, you're not just seeing the Son, who you're looking at. You've seen the Father. All right. So Jesus' authority is equal to the lordship of the Father. Let's go down to John 5 and verse 23. John 5 and 23, Brother Martin. Hold. That's blasphemy. Unless he's the same God. Do you understand? Jesus said, all men should honor me like they honor the Father. Now, could you get a Muslim to agree with that? No way. But Jesus said it. Keep going. So, if you meet a Muslim, show them that verse. They will not like it. Because they will give their honor, their worship to Allah, God. And you say, well, that's good. That's you. You think he's the same God? Fine. Well, you must honor the Son as you honor Allah, and you'll be all right. They won't do it. They can't do it. I will. Amen. And any born-again child of God, it's easy for us because we know we're not worshiping another God. This is God come down in the flesh. All right. Jesus' authority is equal to the Father's. So when you pray to the Lord Jesus, it's okay. He is Lord. Just as God the Father is Lord. Every time in the Old Testament, you'll read about, and the Lord said, you're talking to God the Father, Jehovah God. Amen. And then you meet the Lord Jesus. It's the same God. All right? Didn't take anything from him. Our principle is we believe in one Lord. And particularly we have a name for him. His name is Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses keep it at Jehovah. Nah. Jesus is an extension of Jehovah. And I'm glad for the personalness. He proves he loves me by becoming like me. That's Jesus. The principle is this. You have one person in charge of determining your steps that you should walk in. Psalms 37. Psalms 37. 7 and verse 23. See, if somebody's your Lord, you know what that means? They're the boss. Psalm 37, verse 23. Oh, Lumi, don't do it in Romanian, okay? That's kind of a neat verse. You know what that says? You want to be a good guy? You want to be a good little girl, a good little boy? Just follow the steps that one Lord lays out to you. I mean, when we're a child, we have a couple of different Lords. Mommy and Daddy, the school teacher. We have people who are bossing our lives all the time. And how can you fight it? But as you get older and you start learning about the Lord Jesus, the steps of a good man, if he's a changed person, will be ordered by one Lord. You know there is one Lord you have to worry about. One person that ought to be controlling your life, and it's not your wife. Yeah, he looked at you. It should not be your mother. It should not be your preacher or your priest. The people who used to live in fear of the bishop needed to know there's only one Lord, amen? And his name is Jesus. He's the one that orders my steps, who determines where I should go, who says, don't go there. Who says, do go there. He says, love them. He says, hate that. He says, live this way. And I should. Amen? One Lord. You know, it makes it real simple then. Well, my wife says, yeah, but what does Jesus say? Well, my husband says, well, what does Jesus say? Well, you know, the government says, well, what does Jesus say? Aren't you glad to just have one person to worry about? Amen? Now, you know, it gets a little more complicated than what I'm saying because the Lord will tell you to obey the government. And to obey your husband and to obey your wife. It goes all deeper, deeper. But you're doing it, why? Because you're really obeying him. All right? You don't obey your wife because she beat you up. Amen? That's not the reason why you should obey. And that's not a reason why a child should obey their parents. Now the kids, when they're growing up, they obey because usually, up until they're about 12, 13, 14 years old, mommy's bigger than them. My mom's this high. You know that? You remember that? And if you met my mom, you know she's this high and she's probably 7 stone, dripping wet. And maybe 7 stone. She's very tiny. But she never let us think that. Good night. And when I got taller, I remember looking at her as a teenager, 14 years old, whatever. I says, Mom, I'm taller than you. You can't catch me anymore. She said, try me. You may be bigger. You may think you're faster. But I can. You'll go to sleep sometime. She'd catch me. And you know, there's this thing of this boss because they're bigger, faster, they're stronger than you or whatever. But you do get to the point where you grow up and you have to determine who you're going to submit to. When I got saved, I determined I was going to submit to one Lord. One person in charge of my life. Let's keep going. Is there any room for any other Lord? No. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 3. No, chapter 5. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 2 and 3. Dina, could I talk you into reading those two verses? 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 3. Filthy lucre. Hold for a second. Who do you think Peter's writing to? When he says, feed the flock of God, who's he talking to? Caterers, right? Pastors. He's talking to the other people, the other teachers of the Word of God, the preachers, the pastors, okay? They should feed the flock of God. Not because they're forced to, but of a willing and a ready mind, they want to. Verse 3. So what should a preacher do? He should expect you to follow, should expect you to obey, but he's not your Lord. Do you understand that? He's not your Lord. He doesn't go around saying, you will obey me, I'll find some way to torment you. That's wrong, amen? I am not the Lord. An example, complicated situation. An example is, you don't have to do what they do in order to learn the lesson they teach. If it's an example, then example is the life of the pastor may not be somebody you emulate. The life of a pastor, very few people understand. But he teaches about things, and he'll say things that he may never have experienced, but he teaches the truth, and you just listen and you go, I understand and I obey. But if I'm an example, which many times a pastor is, he'll say, you need to have a family like this. You need to obey your wife like this. No, not that one, not that one. But he'll give you an example. I know. He'll give you an example there. But there are many times where a pastor will teach by example, and he'll speak about things, hopefully, he's never experienced, like homosexuality. Hopefully like murder. Not like murder, amen? You understand? And he'll speak about things and teach you things just from the Bible, but not from his own life. That's what a pastor does. All right? Is there any room for any other controller in your life? Name me now. Here's the challenge. Let's get interact. Name me possible lords over a Christian's life. I've already named one of them. Might be a family member. Huh? Self is usually our biggest lord that we gotta figure out how to dethrone. Excellent. What else? That will actually terrorize us, if not terrify us, if we don't obey. How about your boss? Sometimes. Now you're in a great market here where people can switch jobs. Give it 5-10 years. Market shrinks and dries up, and people are struggling to keep a job, and when the boss just looks at you and you go, what do I do now? And you're afraid of being fired. Don't be afraid. What else? Can become a lord. Hmm? The government could become a lord where they decide all the things for you. What else? Powerful. Powerful controlling force in the people's lives. You may be doing fine and then an unsaved or backslidden friend calls up and says, let's go for a pint. Or, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. And all of a sudden, you're gone. What else is a controlling force in the lives of Christians even? What else? TV can dominate. Now, let's get more abstract. How about just fear? Do you know people who are in absolute... they're absolutely immobilized because of fear. We call it panic attacks, anxieties. You know what that is? That fear has become lord of their life. Hey, if only they knew there's only room for one Lord. Only they knew that they can be free by just having their eyes on the Lord Jesus. That's why the gospel works. Can you imagine? We're better than pills, amen? The good news is, it's better than anything. Any other words? I didn't hear? Advertisements, yes. Well, yeah, they get your mind on other things. What else? A sport. Can become a lord? How? How can a sport be? Yeah, it can become a god that we worship. Some people make it that it is their lord. I'll give you an illustration. Can I? Games. When you say sports, I'm going to take it. There are these role-playing games. Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not sure what all the others are because I'm so far away from it. When I was a kid, there were kids who killed themselves because their role-playing character died. And they would go and commit suicide. Because they had spent so many years building up life points and life force in that being, in their game called Dungeons and Dragons. And when some other witch or some other powerful force came in and was able to kill their character, they would go and commit suicide. What happened? A lord, a demon, convinced them, told them what to do, and they did it. So now I've given one last thing, the devil. Can a Christian be dominated by the devil? Yes or no? Think. Can a Christian be dominated by the devil? Okay. Right. Yes. And the devil can dominate your life. Whereas, who should be my one Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right. There is no room for any other Lord. If Jesus is Lord, let's go to Philippians 3 and verse 8. Philippians 3 and verse 8. Philippians 3, 8. Tony. This was years ago, and again, I'm a little bit distant from, but I know that there are people who really take what they call role-playing with these games that are demonic. I don't believe any Christian should be reading Harry Potter, not because Harry Potter's real, but because there's so much influence. I was at the airport there taking Joel to Arkansas, and in the airport was an entire table, and we're talking a square table, 10 feet by 10 feet, filled with witch, warlock, paraphernalia, and books. These massive books on spells, and that came with its own magic wand, you know, this warlock stick and things, and charms, and I would say armpits, but amulets, or omelets, I'm not sure what they are. It was just chock-a-block. And you say, well, the books aren't that bad, but the books are a doorway. I haven't read any of them. I don't think any Christian should read any of them. But it's a doorway. And it becomes a possessive force. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. All right, it's one thing to speak of Jesus as the Lord. Amen? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. But it's so much better if He's your Lord. Do you understand? I can introduce you to Nita Ledbetter. I can introduce you to the greatest wife. But it's a whole lot better when I can say, that's my wife. Amen? That's the power of this making Jesus my Lord. That's what Paul says. Paul doesn't say, look what he says. 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of just knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. Does it say that? No, it's so personal. Christ Jesus my Lord. Whoo! Jesus is Lord, but the key is to make him your Lord. Matthew 13, please. Matthew in 13. I want to show you something. Every one of these verses I'm about to show you have been mutilated in the New Bibles. Matthew 13 in verse 51. 13 in verse 51. I should have brought my New International Prayer Version to church tonight, but just mark these down and realize all of these verses have been, oh, they want to call it, edited. You know what they were? They were corrupted. Matthew 13, 51, Jim. All right, what are they admitting? Lord, you're the teacher. Lord, we understand and we believe it because you said it. But you know in the New Bibles, they just say, yeah. Not, yay, Lord. Lord is missing in the New Bibles. I wonder why they got rid of that. Let's go look at another one. Luke 23 and 42. Luke 23 and 42. You got three men on crosses. A discussion is going on between two of them. Luke 23, let's see, Marcus 23 and 42. I'll give you one guess, Marcus, which word is missing in the New Bibles? Lord. Hey, whatever your name is, remember me when you go into your kingdom. I mean, what a way to talk to Jesus. But what a way to talk to Jesus when you say, Lord, remember me. You know what that makes? That makes Jesus everything. He's not just somebody dying. When you call out to him, listen to these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. Not just Jesus, but the Lord Jesus. And believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Seems like having a good, healthy respect of Jesus Christ is important to get saved. Amen? In the New Bibles, they remove it. Make him your Lord. Matthew 20 and verse 30. Back to Matthew 20 and verse 30. All right, Amanda, I'm going to embarrass you. 20 and verse 30. Can you read that, Amanda? Do you mind? Okay, thanks. Now, I'll give you one guess which two words are missing out of the New Bibles. Oh, Lord. Doesn't that change the way the conversation? They could have just said, have mercy on us. How does he say it? Thou son of David. And then, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Sort of ratchets up the value of the one they were talking to. Amen? I wonder if people don't live the Christian life because they're not submitted to the Lord of the Christian life. Is that very profound? People take from God all the time. I'll come to you in just 2 seconds. Rarely do they give and go, you are Lord. You're the boss. You know what I've had? I've had too many people say, oh, you Christians, the reason why I don't get saved because I don't want to. I mean, look at what you don't get to do. They realize that when you get saved, you do lose some things. Amen? Don't you? Now, we know you lose your sin. Amen? You lose the judgment for your sin for all time. You lose your bad friends. You lose your sleepless nights. You lose your hatred of people. All that stuff. But they think you lose all the fun. You know what? I decided when I got saved that the Lord wanted me to go to the farthest reaches of the planet. I'd go because he's Lord. Just a second, I got Bill first. Do you understand? They know he takes over. Amen? And they don't want to give up. Bill. In that sand. You know the seminaries, and you might as well just call them what they are, cemeteries. But the seminaries aren't teaching the Bible anymore. The seminaries aren't teaching Church of Ireland, Church of England, even Catholic seminaries aren't teaching them the Bible. They haven't been. They just teach them logic, philosophy, they teach them counseling, and they teach them a few dozen rituals. And they learn how to genuflect, 162 different motions at the Eucharistic Mass, and so on and so forth, but they don't know God. And so when they begin to doubt, like Mother Teresa did for the last 50 years, when they begin to doubt, they have no rock to lean on. Amen? And so they'll abandon God. Yes? Doesn't get your heart racing like dealing with somebody at the door the first time. Amen. Woo. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Did we read Matthew 20? 30? Okay, Matthew 20, 30. Kevin O'Keefe, I think I skipped you. 20, 30. Oh, no, we read that. That was Amanda. Yes, we did read that. Look at the next one. Mark 9, 24. Brother Kevin O'Keefe. Mark 9, 24. We're almost done. It's a broken record, but I'll give you one guess what word is missing in the new Bibles. Only one guess. Lord. Now, you see about this? The child probably cried out with tears to every doctor, every counselor, please help, please help, please help. And when Jesus comes up and says, will you believe? And he says, oh Lord, I believe. Help my, you can help my unbelief. Nobody else could help his unbelief. Amen. See, when he says, Lord, it lifts up Jesus. What does Jesus say? If you lift me up, I will draw men unto him, unto me. Our job is to let Jesus be Lord. I'm about to say something very profound. You ready, Kathleen? The reason, probably why, we're not very fruitful, it's convicting to all of us. The reason why we've got a lot of struggles, it's not all the reasons, but the big reason I think that takes away our sanity and our stability is because Jesus is not Lord. He saved us from sin. How many of you are saved tonight? How many of you are saved, born again, child of God, saved by the blood? Amen, amen. Glory, I'm saved. We can all sing it, amen. Where's the problem then? He's not Lord. He does not dictate, or he does not, he's not allowed to dictate my life. Why? If I chose, I would never be doing what I'm doing. I'm having to do it because he said. You see what the problem is? Very profound. Let him be Lord. Mark 10:51. Dennis, Dr. Lennon. Give you one guess, Brother Dennis. Which bird is missing the new Bibles. Lord. You know, we know the stories, and so we know Jesus is Lord. But do you understand, when little Mikey here is given one of these new Bibles and he grows up and the word Lord is edited out of hundreds of scriptures, do you understand how he might look at Jesus differently than you or I? Do you understand? That's why we don't mess with any of the new Bibles. Oh, but little Mike, he's so young. Get him in the book as soon as possible. Amen? You know, my kids don't have a problem with the King's English because they grew up with it. Amen? Amen? They'll say ain't every once in a while. Amen? But they'll know how to read God's Word, and they'll respect the Lord Jesus, Brother Dennis. No, there's hundreds of problems with the New King James Bible. Just finish this up. The key about these verses is this, is that they all have the word Lord missing them in the newer translation. Doesn't that tell you what might be missing in modern Christianity? If the word Lord is missing in their Bible, does that not explain why the Lord is missing in their life? I told you it's going to be profound. Don't let it be missing in your life, especially since you got a good Bible. You should simply pray. When you pray, how should you begin? Lord Jesus. Isn't that a good way to start? I submit to you. I don't like what I'm going through, but if this is your will, thy will be done. That's a good way to pray. Lord Jesus. That's a good way to pray. Whew. All right. One last verse. If Jesus is Lord, and if he is your Lord, then get busy doing what he says to do. Luke 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and verse 46. Sergius Paulus in the back. Please, yeah. Who else is Sergius Paulus in this room? Let me call you Pope Paul. Yes, sir. Nope, say it again. All right, so why would you call me Lord, Lord, and yet not do what I tell you to do? I think the Lord's going to rebuke us all too often in heaven, where he's going to say, why did you say I was your Lord and yet you didn't do what I said? So, step one, Jesus, say it with me, is Lord. But let me go to step two. Jesus, four words, Jesus is my Lord. Step three, I submit. You didn't say that. Say it with me. Ready? I submit. Can you say it one more time? I submit. Now, you know what's easy? You can say it into the air because nobody's going to hold you to account. But, you know, the Lord heard you. He's going to say, now turn to that wife of yours. Turn to the parents. Turn to your boss. How does it say we should treat our bosses? Like you would if he were Jesus himself. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Kind of helps us, Father, to really weed out all of the voices, all of the demands, all of the pressures against us. And kind of like the woman with an issue of blood, with a hemorrhage, who just pressed past all of the other people and she got to Jesus. She knew from him, if there's anybody that could help her, it would be him. And if we can just get rid of all of the other voices and all the other pressures, and it's not easy. There is no easy way. to just ignore and to shrug off these other forces. It may be a family member. It may be kids. I pity the mothers who are dominated and controlled by the Lord's called children. The kids control the home, and it is demonic. They are the children of disobedience, and they are the children of wrath. And Father, my heart goes out to those parents who don't know how to control and to dominate their children. Instead, they are dominated by their children. But it's wonderful to be able to just submit to you. To not only know you are Lord, but that you are my Lord. And to be able to say confidently, I submit. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. It's hard. But it's easy. It makes it so much simpler when we have just one Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray that that stabilizes our homes, our jobs, our friendships, our church even, God. Stabilize us with this truth. We love you. I thank you for these precious people in this wonderful day. Lord, we dedicate this week to you. You have charged our batteries. You have thrilled our souls. You have taught and fed us. Now may we live it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Make sure you come and shake hands with the Hills. Even if you have to lie, go up to them and tell them you love them.